Hello, everyone, and welcome to English Digest. Today we're doing my favorite unit, and we're talking about travel. But before we do, let's find out who else is in the studio.
Hi, everybody, it's Joe.
And my name is Lily. Listeners, today we're going to talk about the article Into the Jungles of Peru. And we're going to learn that the writer went through some pretty exciting moments. All right, listeners, if you haven't opened up your magazines, please do so as we read through the first day of today's article.
The gigantic snake twisted angrily in my grip, and its powerful muscles moved underneath its scaly skin. Though its head was safely out of reach, it was still more than a handful. How, I wondered, did I get myself into these situations? The trip had started innocently enough. Two friendly Israelis and I arranged the trip with a tall, broad Argentinian named Hector, who instantly inspired confidence. He warned us that the jungle might present unexpected challenges. We had no idea just how serious he was. After 3 hours of boating up the Amazon, we arrived at a small hut. Its owner was a local Native American who would be our guide for the trip. For the first day, we would stay near the river and try to fish for piranhas. The results were disappointing. Our guide and his young sons caught several smaller fish, but the piranhas never showed up. "They're here, but just not biting today," said our guide with a disappointed shrug. "Well, if that's the case," grinned Hector, "we may as well go for a swim." To our astonishment, he dove into the water. We were nervous, but followed him in. If we weren't going to catch the piranhas, at least we could say we swam with them. Still, as we bedded down for the night, I felt a bit disappointed. I hoped the next day would yield something more exciting.
All right, listeners, so that was our article for today, the first day of Into the Jungles of Peru. So this is what we know about the trip. The writer went to the jungles of Peru. And usually when you think about a jungle, you think, well, there's definitely a possibility of dangerous things happening because of all the animals and things that live in the jungle. Well, let's take a look at the first paragraph. It begins with, "The gigantic snake twisted angrily in my grip, and its powerful muscles moved underneath its scaly skin." So immediately we have a pretty kind of scary situation here. We're talking about a really big snake twisting angrily in the writer's grip. If you grip something, it means you're holding onto it really tightly. Of course, the snake probably isn't happy about being in the hands of the writer, so it's twisting angrily. It's moving about. And its powerful muscles moved underneath its scaly skin. Well, the skin of the snake, we usually describe it as being scaly because the skin of a snake isn't quite like our skin. I've actually never touched a snake myself, but people who have told me that it's, you know, very smooth. People think it might be kind of wet, kind of slimy, but, you know, these people told me that's actually quite nice, a very smooth kind of feel to it. But of course, when you're talking about a really big snake, you can just imagine trying to hold onto it would be really difficult.
And that's what we learn in this next sentence. It starts off by saying, though its head was safely out of reach, it was still more than a handful. So the head of the snake is out of reach, meaning it's far away from them, so it can't hurt them or bite them, it seems like. But he says, the writer, that it was still more than a handful. Now, when we're talking about something being a handful, it can mean a couple of different things. A handful can mean that it fills up your hand when you try to grip it, when you try to hold on to it. It's very big because it fills up your entire hand. But when we describe something as being a handful, it can also mean that something is very hard to control. It has a lot of energy or a lot of power. Sometimes parents use this word to describe their kids, like especially young kids that have a lot of energy and they're always running around. They say, oh, they're great, but they really are a handful. It just means that it takes a lot to control them. So of course, with this gigantic snake, it'd be very hard to control because they're not too happy to be handled by humans or picked up. They just want to be left alone in the wild. But Our writer has once again gone looking for danger, and it seems like he's found it here.
That's true, because the writer asks himself, how, I wondered, did I get myself into these situations? Now, this is kind of a question that a lot of people will ask themselves if, you know, maybe certain things happen again and again. So looking at this question, we can probably think about the fact that it's possible the writer has been in a few dangerous situations maybe during his travels in other places. And so, of course, I mean, I understand this because usually when I go traveling, I don't necessarily, you know, reach out and grab onto a snake like this writer has done here. Well, let's take a look at the next paragraph. It says, the trip had started innocently enough. So the beginning of this article, you know, it's set up with this kind of dangerous situation, the writer talking about holding on to a snake. But then we go on and he says the trip had started innocently enough. So of course, we're talking about his trip to Peru. If something is innocent, you can almost say that it's definitely the opposite of dangerous. You know, things are very pure, very simple. So the beginning of the trip was definitely very different to what happened later on and when he gave the example of holding on to the snake.
Well, often when you're traveling, and especially when you're traveling alone, you tend to make friends with other travelers, other solo travelers or people traveling in groups, and you form a group of people and you go and do things together just to have some companionship and make some new friends. Well, this was no different for our writer. He made friends with two friendly Israelis and they arranged a trip with a tall, broad Argentinian named Hector who instantly inspired confidence. So if somebody is Israeli, it means they're from the nation of Israel. And they had arranged this trip through the Amazon with a broad Argentinian named Hector. We say he's tall and that he's broad. It just means that he's wide. He probably has very wide shoulders. He sounds like he's a big, tough guy. And you'd have to be if you were leading trips into the Amazon jungle because of all the danger that can be there. But they say that this man, Hector, instantly inspired confidence. So right away, they had a feeling that if they went with him, they would be safe. They were confident that this journey would be a safe one and that no danger would come to them if they had this tall, broad, local person who was going to help them through the Amazon rainforest. He's an Argentinian, so he's from the nation of Argentina, but they're in Peru and he's going to lead them through the Amazon jungle.
And he warned them that the jungle might present unexpected challenges. So he gave them a warning, basically, you know, telling them, hey, you know what, this might happen. You better be careful. You have to watch out. And he said that the jungle might present unexpected challenges. If something is a challenge, it means that it's quite difficult, possibly a little bit dangerous. If it's unexpected, it means that, you know, you probably didn't think it was going to happen. Now, that's true, you know, for any kind of trip. If you go, let's say, into the desert or into the jungle, maybe into an environment that you're not very familiar with, well, you definitely have to be prepared. You have to understand that things might happen, unexpected things might happen, and you'll have to deal with it. You probably have to think very quickly on your feet.
And that's why sometimes we say expect the unexpected. It just means that you have to kind of plan for things that might not happen, but they could. So you never know what kind of situations are going to come up. And we end this second paragraph but with the author saying, we had no idea just how serious he was. So the guide told them that maybe they're going to come up against some things that they would never expect to see or to do. But maybe they were just kind of taking it lightly, like maybe he's just trying to scare them a little bit or give them some excitement for the trip. But then we have this sentence that is kind of like a literary technique known as foreshadowing. It kind of gives clues as to what's going to happen, kind of gives you a little bit of a feeling of suspense. So it's like, we had no idea just how serious he was. With this sentence, we can see that probably he's going to come up against some very dangerous situations, probably having to do with the local wildlife in the Amazon jungle and all the dangers within the jungle.
Well, that's true, because when you think of the jungle, you do think of danger, mainly because the jungle is usually a very unfamiliar place to a lot of people. Well, in the third paragraph, it begins, after 3 hours of boating up the Amazon, we arrived at a small hut. So they had, you know, a pretty good start to their trip. They boated up the Amazon, all right? So that trip took 3 hours. And I've heard that the Amazon is just amazing. Now, here they talk about arriving looking at a small hut. Now, a small hut, you can just imagine that it's almost like a very small house, usually a one-room kind of building. And so we can just imagine that, you know, it's very small, probably a native person, a person who actually lives in the area, lives in this kind of hut.
And in fact, the owner of the hut was a local Native American who would be our guide for the trip. So when we say Native American, it just refers to the people that first lived in this area. It doesn't refer to people like the Spanish who came to South America later on in the 16th century and basically conquered the entire continent of South America. It refers to the people that lived there first, the native peoples, just like we would refer to the native Taiwanese or the aboriginal peoples of this island of Taiwan. So the owner was a local Native American, and they would be their guide for the trip. So this person would be the one that would take them through and maybe show them some of the plants, some of the animals, and also probably be in charge of keeping them safe and keeping them out of danger.
Well, that's true. All right, listeners, that's it for the first half of today's article. Now it's time for some Chinese explanation.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 我们常常说啊，外面的世界呢是非常的险恶的。我们会说 It's a jungle out there. 没错，我们今天要带大家去的正是在秘鲁的这里面的丛林哦，就是 jungle 这个地方。而我们首先看到这个形容词 gigantic， 其实就是有巨大的意思。还记得之前我们有学过一个字叫做 monstrous。M-O-N-S-T-R-O-U-S 也是跟它有相同的意思，所以这只巨大的蛇呢，就在我的手里面呢，生气的扭动着。我们看到在这里用了一个名词 grip, G-R-I-P， 则是有握紧、抓紧的意思。当然，这个字也可以用来当作动词，所以我们说轮胎的抓地力很强，我们就可以说 grip the road well。而这条蛇呢，它全身上下呢都是有鳞片的。尽管呢，蛇头在安全的距离以外，在这里我们用的是 safely out of reach， 而后面说呢 ，it was still more than a handful。我们要看的就是 more than a handful， 在这里呢，解释成为、让我没有办法一手能够抓住它。其实 handful 这个字。可以当作是名词，解释成为难以控制的人、事物。接着，我们来看这个例句 ：A little boy is quite a handful， 一个小男孩就够麻烦了。而另外一个类似的名词叫做 mouthful， 就解释成为一口能够吃的这个量。而这个作者呢，怎么会到这样子的丛林呢？然而，刚开始的旅程是相当的呢，是非常的单纯不过。在这里，我们就可以用 innocent 这个字。所以呢 ，innocent 可以解释成为无辜的、清白的。He is innocent of the crime， 就代表呢，他是无罪的。那么跟他的相反词 guilty, G-U-I-L-T-Y, 则是有罪的。当然要去到这样子的 jungle, 需要一些导游咯。所以在一开始他们请的这个导游名叫做 Hector, 而在 Hector 后面打了一个逗号 ,who instantly inspired confidence。Confidence 本来就是信心、信任的意思，而 inspire 在这里则是有激发某人的情感，所以一看到这个 Hector 呢，马上就可以激发出别人对他的信任感咯。He warned us that. 对了，当我们想要警告别人什么事情，我们就可以用 warn somebody that 来加子句。当然，你也可以说warn somebody of 来加名词。他说啊，这个丛林里面呢，会有一些 unexpected challenges， 你没有办法预料到的一些挑战。同样的，当我们要说不速之客，我们也可以说 unexpected visitors。
All right, now it's time for a short break, but don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to English Digest. My name is Joe, and I'm here with Lily today, and we're on our travel unit, and we're discussing an article entitled Into the Jungles of Peru. It's by our travel writer named Michael Karanikolas, and he's been journeying around the world and providing us with some great articles about the different places that he's been visiting. So today, he's going into the jungles of Peru. He's going into the Amazonian rainforest, where there are so many things to see and so many exciting things to do. But there's a lot of danger there as well, and he's been kind of foreshadowing that danger so far. We started off the article just by jumping right into his struggle with a gigantic snake, and then we talked about how his journey got started. He befriended two people from Israel, and they went off down the river into the jungle, where they came across a hut where there lived a Native American who was going to be their guide for the entire trip, and that's where we left off right before the break.
Well, usually if you're going to take a trip into the jungle, you definitely want a guide who is a local person, who knows everything about that area, mainly because, you know, we talked about unexpected challenges, because it's very difficult to go and take a trip into, let's say, the Amazon if you have had no experience before. Now, for the first day, the writer says, we would stay near the river and try to fish for piranhas. So their very first day in the Amazon, they did something pretty interesting. They were going to stay near the river. So, of course, you know, the Amazon's so huge, you could see many different things, but for their very first day, they were going to stay by the river because they were going to try and fish for piranhas. So they were going fishing, and you're probably thinking, oh, fishing, well, that's, you know, that's relaxing, that's fun, but maybe not that interesting. However, what is interesting was the type of fish that they wanted to try and catch. The piranha. Now, Joe, is it right that the piranha basically, you know, eats living things?
Well, piranhas, they're famous for their ferociousness. Like, I've seen on TV actually a demonstration where they throw, like, a whole cow, like a dead cow, just a cow skeleton, basically. They throw it into a tank of piranhas, and they take every little bit of meat off the cow within just, I think, a couple of minutes. So the whole school of fish, they just swarm the body. And that's what people think of when they think of piranhas. They think of these ferocious little fish. They're not that big, but because they travel in such a large group, we call a group of fish a school of fish. That's where the danger comes in, because there's so many of them, and they can smell blood in the water, and it triggers what's called a feeding frenzy, where they all just kind of go crazy and just eat and eat and eat just very, very quickly. So that's where the danger lies. So they're fishing, which, like you said, would seem relaxing, but they're fishing for the most ferocious fish in the Amazon River.
Well, unfortunately, the results were disappointing. So the results, what happened? Well, it was disappointing. They weren't really happy about them. They were really excited because they were going to fish for piranhas. But then at the end, they were like, oh, because even though the guide and his young sons caught several smaller fish, the piranhas never showed up. All right. So the local guide, the local Native American, also his young sons, they went fishing. They actually caught some small fish, but the piranhas never showed up. So when we talk about something showing up, it means that, you know, you can actually see it. In this case, even though they wanted to fish for piranhas, even though they wanted to catch them, unfortunately, they weren't able to.
They're here, but just not biting today, said our guide with a disappointed shrug. So the fish were actually there. They were around, but they just weren't biting for whatever reason. And that's what happens sometimes when you go fishing. Sometimes you can sit out there on the water in the boat for hours and hours on end, but for some reason, the fish aren't biting, meaning they're not biting the hook that you put down into the water. So the guide was disappointed, and he shrugged. When you shrug, it's like you move your shoulders upwards as if to say, well, I'm sorry, I guess it's not going to happen today. We're not going to be catching any piranhas today. But they were there, so the piranhas, they're always around, but I guess they just weren't hungry that day.
Well, then Hector said, if that's the case, we may as well go for a swim. All right, if something is the case, it means it is to be true. Now, Hector, remember that tall, broad Argentinian? Well, he was grinning, meaning he had a really big smile on his face and saying, well, all right, so the piranhas are in the river, but they're not biting because they couldn't catch any of them. So Hector says, we may as well go for a swim. So you can instantly see how Hector, you know, is probably a very brave kind of person because he's thinking, oh, you know, this is great. We can just go for a swim with the piranhas instead of catching them.
Well, of course, the author, he says, to our astonishment, meaning much to our, like, shock or to our amazement, he dove into the water. So even though there's these ferocious fish and there's these tales of them, you know, like eating people and all kinds of things they can get their teeth on, he just dove right into the water. And although they were nervous, meaning they were scared, they actually followed him into the water as well, because I guess if they thought, if he's a local and he's diving in, well, I guess it must be safe because he knows the river and he would never put us in danger, right?
And if we weren't going to catch the piranhas, at least we could say we swam with them. This is because, you know, a lot of people, they think of the Amazon, they think of the jungle, they think of really exciting things. And usually if you go to an exciting place, you want to have experiences. So you can go home, you can tell your family and your friends all about it. Also because, you know, you might not be able to have this kind of experience anywhere else. So they weren't able to catch the piranhas, but then this way they could at least tell people, you know, we actually swam with them, because I'm sure other people would be like, wow, really? You swam with piranhas? Weren't you scared?
That's right. That would make for a great story later on. And that's, of course, what you want to do when you travel. You want to have great stories to tell, great pictures to share with everybody else. You don't want it to be just a boring, regular trip. And it sounds like Mike doesn't want that either. He wants to have the most exciting, the most dangerous experiences possible. And it does make for great stories. But still, he says, as we bedded down for the night, I felt a bit disappointed. When we use this phrase, bedded down for the night, it just means to go to bed or to go to sleep. He was a bit disappointed, I guess because they didn't catch any piranhas, they didn't actually get to see anything, and it sounds like the day, although it had potential for excitement, it ended up being not exactly what he expected, so that's why he was feeling a little bit disappointed as he went to sleep for the night.
Well, he says that I hope the next day would yield something more exciting. When you're talking about a yield, usually, you know, I'll hear this word when people talk about farming things, growing things, and the amount that you're able to grow, you know, let's say fruits or vegetables, that's your yield. Well, here in this case, the writer is just saying that he hoped the next day would yield something more exciting. So something more exciting would happen. So they got to swim with piranhas, and that was exciting, probably a little bit scary, but not quite what the writer imagined to be. Now, if you remember at the beginning of the article, he talked about the snake. We actually haven't talked about that situation yet. He's introduced it, but it's quite possible that we'll talk about it in the following 2 days. But now it's time for some Chinese explanation.
在丛林开始的第一天呢，他们呢就去跑到河中，想要 fish for piranhas， 也要找这些食人鱼咯。当然，这个过程的一开始并不是很顺利，所以咯，这个呢，导游呢，他就说了一些话 ：They are here, but just not biting today。这些食人鱼都在，可是啊，今天什么东西都不想吃。所以说着说着呢，这个导游 with a disappointed Shrug 在这里当作名词是耸肩的意思，同样的拼法也可以用来当作是动词。He shrugged it his shoulders as if it made no difference to him. 他耸着肩，好像表示着呢这件事情对他来讲一点都没有差别。Well, if that's the case, 如果真为如此的话呢，这个 Hector 就说啦 ，We may as well go for a swim.在这里我们要看的是 may as well 加上原形动词，可以解释成为即使做怎么样也是一样的。其实啊，后面省略掉啊，是第二个 as 所接的 fish for piranhas， 也就是说啊，如果呢找不到这个食人鱼，那么我们去游泳也是一样的好的。 To our astonishment， 在这里我们常常看到To someone's, 再加上跟情绪有关的名词，而在这里则是解释成为使人惊讶的事。你也可以说 to our surprise, to our amazement。那么这个导游啊，就这么样的潜入到河当中了，还好是没有发生什么事呢。所以当他们入睡的时候，则希望呢 the next day, 隔天呢 would yield something more exciting。在这里的 yield 则是由产生带来的意思。His business has yielded no profits this year. 他的生意啊，今年好像没有带来任何的利润。在这里的 yield 就是当作动词 产生、带来的意思。
All right, listeners, so that was our article for today, the first day of Into the Jungles of Peru. So the article began with a pretty exciting introduction talking about the writer holding on to a gigantic snake. And he asked himself a question at the end of that paragraph, how did I get myself into these situations? So we can just imagine that this writer, he probably does a lot of exciting things, as Joe mentioned before.He's traveling around the world, so it's very likely that, you know, he's had many different experiences.
And you know, some people, when they're traveling, they just look for the regular tourist spots. But people like Mike, they kind of go off the beaten path. They go looking for excitement and danger. And that's exactly what he did. But you know, the trip, it started off just like any other trip. He met a couple of other travelers. They kind of booked a trip through the Amazon jungle with a local guide.And they just started off by sailing down the Amazon, you know, fishing for some piranha, which is pretty exciting. But they didn't get to catch any, but they did get to swim with the piranhas. But even though that might seem very exciting, our author, he was a little bit disappointed at the end of the day. But I have a good feeling that within the next couple days of this article, he's going to be finding himself in some more dangerous situations.
Well, that's true. You know, they wanted to fish for piranhas, but instead they ended up swimming with them. And of course, you know, Hector, that tall, broad Argentinian, it was mainly because of him. He was the one who first went into the water, and because he inspires confidence, they followed him in. Well, remember, listeners, that today was just the first day of a 3-day unit, so please remember to join us again tomorrow as we continue into the jungles of Peru. Until then, my name is Lily.
And I'm Joe.
Goodbye.